Let me first thank you, your staff, your technical people, everybody that works with you to have given me this opportunity to be able to bring the truth to the people, not just in Liberia, not just in Africa, but worldwide. To your question regarding my response to what the government is saying that we took $1 million. First of all, there have been so many stories, so many different allegations of different amounts. If you have followed the story, there's been accusation of $3,500,000, $1 million, $269,000, etc. Whatever the amount that follows the accusation, my response remains the same. It is false. It is unfounded. We did not take anything. We did not steal anything from this government or the people of Liberia. The basis of the accusation is that we supposedly made up a fake company by the name of Diaspora Consultant, through which we allegedly staged that this company would do work in Liberia. The allegation is that the company does not exist. The company is fake. There are no employees, et cetera, with this company. The company never came to Liberia. They never did any work. That we merely staged this company and took all the money of varying amounts, as I said earlier, and ran out of Liberia. That is simply unfounded. That is not true. My word alone should not be taken on the defense to this, that it is not true, it is unfounded. We have assembled a dossier of about 300 pages that in documents, in proof from third-party sources, shows clearly that this is false. For instance, in the documents that I forwarded to you, if you look at it, you will see that there are several email correspondences between representatives from this company and the airport staff in Liberia, people in government, etc. So if this company was fake, then there should not have been any communication between representatives of this company and the people working on the ground in Liberia.
If the government has indicted you in Liberia, why did you not say to clear your name? And why did you, as some people would say, flee the country?
The reason we fled was very simple. The highest-ranking security officer in Liberia, the Minister of Defense, told us that government officials were plotting against us and quoting him that they had signed our death warrant. Eventually, we had an opportunity to speak to the director of police for the entire country. The director of police for the entire country told us additionally that the president of Liberia had ordered us to be captured at night, but he wasn't clear as to why we were ordered to be captured. Additionally, other government officials, as revealed to us by the chief of airport security, a Mr. Zuba, had gone and turned off the lights, the water, replaced the familiar security guard at the house at the airport. And this security guard basically told us that you need to be concerned about your safety. They came over here threatening me, et cetera. So when you ask why did we leave, I think the answer becomes easy and clear. And so that's why under all of those circumstances, that's why we left Liberia.
Judge Johnson, so you mentioned the defense minister, Samukai, and the director of police. Besides them giving you the tip that you were being sought by the government, did they help you to leave the country?
Regarding the details about how we left, we've sworn to secrecy as to not expose that because there are other people involved. But I can say, and the recording reveals this, what I can say is that, yes, we were assisted by, to some extent, by these government officials. But the details about how we left, because there are so many other parties involved, I'm not at liberty to share that.
So here's my question. You did secretly tape record people you were dealing with, including some senior government officials. And if I heard you correctly, that you even recorded the president of Liberia. So some would say, why did you do that?
Well, we did it for a very simple reason. We discovered that these government officials were stealing from the poor people of Liberia. We know how rich Liberia is in natural resources. We see how Liberia additionally is blessed with not just U.S., but international goodwill. And we see how all those blessings are not triggering down to the everyday people. And we saw the reasons for those blessings not triggering down, and we felt compelled to do something. Liberia has a history of Liberians talking about problems, but not being willing to become sacrificial lambs, not being willing to take the risk. And so we decided to take that risk. Now, we determined that the only way to present this to the world later on was to record these people. And so that's why we went on this spree of recording these government officials, including the president of Liberia, because we wanted to expose this to the world. We wanted to expose this to the people, and we wanted it to be authenticated with the voices of the culprits.
So you do have a recording of the president of Liberia?
Yes, we have more than one additional recording of the president of Liberia. We played one publicly already. That's the one that deals with a company called NACO, N-A-C-A. Just quickly, 30 seconds, we discovered in that instance that there were money leaving the bank accounts of the airport going out to this company, but we had not found any reports, any contracts, any work. We had not talked to anybody. We didn't know who this company was. And so we went to the president after learning that this company, one of the principals of this company, is connected to the president. We went to the president and asked her, essentially, we need some guidance. What's going on with this company? Why is all this money going out to this company? And on recording, the president pretends to not know what's going on. And then she accuses some government officials of plotting to steal. And then she promises to question them. And she says the payment were invalid. The payments would be revoked. But of course, those payments were never revoked. And to our knowledge, nobody was really even questioned.
And do you have a recording of the president's sister?
What I can tell you without letting all the cat out of the bag is we've got recordings of numerous people in government directly and indirectly influencing the government. All the recordings we have are tailored to expose corruption, are tailored to bring the truth to the Liberian people and to the world as to why the everyday people of Liberia continue to suffer in light of all the natural resources and international goodwill that we have.
So let me specifically ask, did anyone in the government give you money as a way to keep you quiet? Or did anyone offer you money?
Nobody in the government has offered or given me any money to keep me quiet. I think anybody that has followed the news in Liberia for the last 6 months, if there's anybody in Liberia that would be deemed to have been quiet, I would not be one of those people. So I don't even understand the distractive strategy, the distractive nature, even of those who are inquiring as to whether or not I've been paid and why I am quiet, because I have been anything but quiet. In fact, if you recall just shortly, the president required the whole country to remain quiet via a gag order. So the fact that the president and the justice minister went out and put forth a gag order for the country to be quiet, that says that there was concern that I wasn't quiet.
How would you describe your decision to make these recordings? Would you say that was patriotic? Because some people would say it was a betrayal of confidentiality.
Well, I understand the people that would talk about confidentiality first, but how I would describe it was, in the Bible, God says to Joshua, "Be strong and courageous, for I am with you." And first of all, after much prayer and reflection, we felt that God had told us, be strong and courageous, we're with you. And so first it was based on, we felt and feel an agreement with God to go forward, that he would protect us in doing this. Secondly, again, the people are suffering. You have about 4 million people. We have a rich country. We have many natural resources. We have great international goodwill. We don't have any electricity for the whole country. We don't have any water. We don't have roads. We don't have schools. We don't have medicines. I mean, I can go on, food. I can go on and on and on. And so when you see these things happening and you get in a position to expose it, you're faced with a choice to either be like everybody else and just talk about it and hope that by talking it'll go away, or become the sacrificial lamb to expose it. And that's what we felt we needed to do. Now, if anybody interprets that as a breach of confidence, then I understand where they're coming from. But I read somewhere before, Mr. Butte, somebody said that if you keep doing what you have been doing, you will keep getting what you have been getting. And so if Liberians are serious about progress, if we're serious about moving our country forward, we cannot keep doing the same thing and expect something different. And so we decided to be the sacrificial lambs to bring the truth about this to Liberia and the world. And hopefully by doing something different, we'll get a different result for the prosperity of the people of Liberia.
In Malawi, there is a big government corruption scandal popularly known as the Cash Gate, where some public officials are alleged to have stolen more than $2.5 million from the public coffers. But in that case, the government of Malawi has taken steps to arrest some senior government officials, including even the justice minister. How would you describe the Liberian government's commitment to fighting corruption?
You can't really be committed to fighting corruption when you yourself are corrupt. You have on recording that has been played for the world, played in Liberia, is posted on YouTube. On this recording, you have the defense minister, the guy responsible for the defense of the entire nation. He says on this recording, in essence, I've done an investigation. I've talked to these government officials. He names the government officials, and he says that they're plotting against other people because these people are taking an anti-corruption stance, and they're plotting and they're signing death warrants, et cetera, et cetera. Now, everywhere where there's red-blooded human beings, that's illegal. And so if this government, if this president is halfway trying to give the impression that she's serious about corruption, based on the defense minister's investigation, he's a security officer. He's the highest-ranking security officer. Based on his investigation, at a minimum, there should be another investigation launched. And if she's serious about corruption, those government officials should be arrested and taken through the due process to see the facts about what the defense minister had already investigated about them plotting and signing people's death warrant. Additionally, you have another government official, the senior security officer at the airport, naming other government officials that went in and illegally turned off the electricity, illegally turned off the water, replacing the security guard, vandalizing offices, taking stuff. In every civilized society, when you have a government official that is an eyewitness to those crimes, if the government, again, is really serious about corruption, those government officials, like Malawi, should be arrested. You've got the finance minister that's named point blank by the minister of defense. You've got the finance minister that's named point blank by the chairman of the board for all the airports. You also got the finance minister that's named by the director of police. So you have this one finance minister, not named by us, but named by his colleagues. Every one of his colleagues has named him. And so if this president is halfway serious about corruption, this finance minister, who I am told is her son, he should be arrested and charged and, you know, given due process and let the case go forward. But the fact that there's no action, the fact that we're being pursued presumably internationally when we have documents that we publish to the world that is out there, that shows that this is just a hoax. This is just to pretend and to somehow show face to the international community that she's about anti-corruption. But she isn't. The issue about NACO with her recording that is publicly out there, she hasn't explained anything about that. She hasn't responded to that. She hasn't denied it. So, no, I mean, all of those evidences and more, I think, show clearly that any talk about anti-corruption is really just a joke.
To the government's credit, I think I spoke the other day with the new chairman of the Anti-Corruption Commission. He mentioned some of the things, the steps the government has taken, including even setting up the Anti-Corruption Commission to fight corruption. And still you think that the government is not serious, eh?
My brother, no, clearly they're not serious. When they alleged that we took all these different figures, they did not say they were going to set up an anti-corruption commission before they pursue us. They did not say they would do this whole commission, staff it, get buildings, get stationery before they bring about indictment. So if you're serious about crime and you're fair and you're objective, if you have evidence of crime given to you, hand-delivered to you by your minister of defense, why do you have to wait to set up an anti-corruption commission before you go after those crimes or those alleged criminals? If you're serious about it, go after them immediately. When an average citizen in Liberia allegedly commits a crime, the government doesn't wait to set up an anti-corruption commission before prosecuting that person. So, no, that makes no sense whatsoever. It can be done simultaneously if this president, this government is serious. But again, They're not serious. This is a hoax. They have been caught with their pants down. They're embarrassed. And that's basically what this is all about.
One thing we also know, or I've heard, is that, and I think the Liberian government mentioned it, that it has asked for your extradition from the U.S. government. Has anyone approached you from the U.S. government side in terms of an extradition proceedings that are pending against you?
Nobody has approached me from the U.S. government side or the Liberian side or any side for that matter. Back in August, we learned via the media that the president had sent an extradition team to the United States. This was in August of this year. We're now towards the end of this year in December. So we're talking approximately 5 months later. I don't know if that extradition team is still at baggage claim at JFK trying to find their way out or whatever the case is. But I will tell you and your listening audience this. The 300-page dossier that we've assembled that deals and shows clearly that the indictment is bogus. We flew up to Washington, D.C. We requested and had an audience with the Department of State. We met with them for several hours going through the dossier from beginning to end. We also met with and left a copy with officials at the U.S. Department of Justice. And thirdly, we took a third copy of that dossier and requested that the U.S. Secretary of State's office forward the same to the U.S. Embassy in Liberia. And so those are the things that we've done. But as far as the extradition team, nobody has contacted me. There's been no due process. And as I said, we heard the same story back in August. I don't know if they're expecting us to look in baggage claim at JFK. I don't know if you have any contact where you can call baggage claim. But since August, we've heard that extradition team has been there, but we've not seen or heard anything.